Now, Talk Real Estate, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services.
Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara, and you are listening to Talk Real Estate. I am going to be your host for the next hour. Let me share a little bit about my background before we get started. I am the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate, located on the South Shore, and I have been working as a full-time realtor and sales and marketing consultant for home buyers and home sellers for the past 15 years. I have helped hundreds of clients throughout the home buying and home selling process. My unique approach to assisting my clients to the next chapter of their lives is driven by being a team player and by offering them continuous training, education, advising, and mentoring. I like to say that I offer my clients exceptional service that moves you. Every week, I will be providing you with real estate topics ranging from home buyer and home seller advice, legal matters, insurance binders, flood insurance concerns, home inspection questions, environmental worries like radon, lead paint, and mold, mortgages and loan programs, staging tips and ideas, real estate contracts, market trends, home values, and more. It's a talk radio show, and sometimes we are even interactive, so you can follow along online. If you have any questions during the show, please call 781-837-4900. We love to talk real estate. If you missed any of our shows, or if you want to listen to one again, you can listen on my podcast at talkrealestateradio.com. If you would like a one-on-one consultation with me regarding your home sale or your home purchase, I'd love the opportunity to meet with you. You can connect with me anytime at bostonconnect.com or 781-826-8000. Now, sit back, relax, take good notes, and let's talk real estate. And good evening to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara. You are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate. I have Ryan in the house. He's just dancing to the jam in there.
I am digging your new music, Sharon.
I know. I like
it,
too.
We can see that, honey. We can see that.
This is like Black Eyed Peas, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm like twerking in the air studio or something, whatever it is.
We have twerking going on.
No, I'm not turning.
I'm not turning. He's too young for me.
This way.
But he's so cute. He's so good to us, Ryan. And Ryan's very familiar with our guest today. And, of course, we have Cindy Ford with me. Hey, Cindy.
How are you, honey?
Hey, any better? I'd be...
On vacation.
I know. I think it's almost time for one of those coming up soon. So today we are going to be talking to Alyssa McNamara Reed. And
yes.
Unfortunately, you weren't able to be here with me the last time I had her on. It was on a Saturday.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right before you switched.
I'm sure I was in Alabama. That's really the only place I am, but with you.
Yeah, I know. And Ryan's like just loving our jam. That's my jam. So, to get back on track, again, you're listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara. We are live again here this Wednesday. We're loving having our Wednesday evenings. I did Saturday morning, which, you know what, 8 to 10. I haven't had
it's
to
a
do
long. It's a long 2 hours.
It's long, and I forgot how long it actually takes to get here from where I live.
Oh.
So I was like, the good news is he's in Florida.
He won't know that you're late. Yeah. It goes by quick. It does go by quickly. 2 hours sounds like a long time, but it does go by quickly.
Yeah, it does go by quickly.
And you're talking about what you do every day.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great show. I got a lot of good feedback from that. So if you're not familiar with that voice, because you know, we might have different listeners than we usually do on Saturday mornings. From our previous show, we have Alyssa McNamara Reed with us from McNamara Financial Services, and of course McNamara Money every Saturday morning from 8 to 10.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah. How's everything going? You're sort of like the leader of the band there now, aren't you?
I don't know if my dad would agree with that, but I like to think so for sure. But no, it's good. It's good. I like the evening show. I haven't been on the radio in the evening ever. It's really different coming here in the evening than coming at, you know, 7:45 on a Saturday morning.
It took us, we're still getting used to it. Yeah. Seriously, the first night, the two of us were hopeless.
You're like out of your element a little bit. Well, I'm on the opposite side of the table, which is weird.
You're weird.
And then it's dark
in
outside.
Chair,
and then feel very short in this chair.
Right.
Yeah,
I know. That was the first night we were here. Ryan was like, why are you nervous? We were like,
how long have you been?
I know, like, because you know how everyone can see us.
So somebody snuck in with a video camera, just in case somebody came in with a video camera.
I'm like in our pajamas on Saturday morning. Yeah. I don't know what we were thinking.
That's
and
so
then
funny.
At one point she lost her little train of thought there. And so usually she looks at me and I just take right off. She looked at me and I went, what?
Stage fright.
What you do you want
froze.
From me?
Yeah.
Did we just do that show?
Can we just cut that dead air out a little bit here? Oops, it's live.
I know.
great to do that.
But thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're really excited. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm really happy to have you here. Like I said, I think maybe we have a different group of listeners.
Sure.
Which is great. Ooh.
Already?
You're welcome. I'm done. I can go now. The show's over.
We're done.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
No, we have a very important person on the way because everyone's on their way home at night, so we want to make sure that they get home safe and sound and on time for a nice hot dinner. So we have Malcolm. How's the traffic out there, Malcolm?
Don't miss a minute of Talk Real Estate. Check out the podcast page at talkrealestateradio.com. Talk Real Estate, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate.
And we're back. Good evening to all our social neighbors. You're listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford. Of course, we have Alyssa McNamara Reed here with us today. She's enjoying the vibe.
I'm enjoying your updated music.
Right?
I'm not twerking, but I was enjoying the music in a very appropriate way.
By the end of this, we promise you. We should buy more of those cups. We bought cups and it says in there, this potentially could be wine in there. So
I usually bring that, but I needed more tonight.
Because we're Kathy Lee and Yoda, Hoda, who just had a baby. She just adopted a baby.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I would not kid you. That's for sure.
You would. Yeah. But, this is a new mom.
She's like,
yeah, I know who you're talking about, but I have no.
Yeah, the Today Show.
I'm not. Oh, okay.
We think we're them, but better, a little bit better.
Yeah,
a little. We're going to be talking about what are we talking about? Oh, we're talking about investments, and we're going to be talking about a little bit of real estate with investments. You know, what's the better way to go? Is it real estate or the stock market? I also know, you know, if people sell their house and they have proceeds, your suggestions on how people should go forward with all of that. But I also wanted to do this one thing. I was so organized about a minute ago. I don't know what happened.
Did you do? Well, you have a 3-ring binder in front of you. You look very organized.
And
some
other, a
since
lot.
Since you already know the answer, this is going to be a test for Ryan. But we thought it would be fun. So we did, Cindy and I did this past week, we did last week. Yeah, we did two community TV programs.
Okay.
About real estate. And one of them was with John Buckley, who's the Register of Deeds, Plymouth County Register of Deeds. And he has this fun facts with deeds that he always talks about. When I have him on the show, I prefer talking about this stuff. So it's history. So this is, I want you to tell me who this person is.
Pop quizzes make me nervous, by the way.
Me too. I'm nervous, even though you already gave me the answer.
And I know the answer, but I'm scared. Yeah. But go ahead. No pressure, Ryan.
So John F. Honey Fitz, and no Googling in there. I can see you.
Hands in the pockets.
So John F. Honey Fitz, Fitzgerald Congressman and Mayor of Boston, grandfather of I just said it. Oh, geez.
Oh, he was the grandfather
of which president?
Of which president?
President.
John
Kennedy?
Yeah.
All right.
That was John Kennedy.
How was that for Mark?
I know. So I'm just going to read real quick. John Francis Honey Fitz, Fitzgerald, and Mary J. Fitzgerald bought a summer home at 940 Nantasket Avenue in Hull. In 1915, Fitzgerald was elected to Boston Commons Council in 1891. In 1892, he became a member of the Massachusetts Senate. In 1894, he was elected to Congress for the 9th District, blah, blah, blah. But I thought that would be interesting to share that little fun fact with you that the grandfather of John F. Kennedy lived at 940 Nantasket Avenue Hall.
You know, I think that's the second new thing I learned today. So thank you.
See, that's a good day. Tomorrow you don't have to learn anything.
Yeah, exactly.
You're all set for tomorrow.
Appreciate that.
For sure.
Is that address still there, or did it get washed away?
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
I'm on it, ladies.
Oh, would you please? Thank you.
No.
So I have a question for Alyssa.
Yeah, sure.
Now, it might not be a you question, but I'm going to go with it anyway.
Go with it.
So if I have a client that, you know, doesn't have a mortgage on their property and they are going to right size and they have, let's just say, $500,000 in cash, and what they're buying is just say $250,000.
Yeah.
Should they pay cash for that and invest the rest, or should they take out a mortgage and not put everything on the new house?
How old are they? I need to know more about the situation.
62 and 65.
I would pay cash for the house.
Because they don't have much longer to live, or...
Well, it's 62 and 65.
I know, I'm almost there. I'm just saying.
I'm 49 in a couple months.
So why would that be... What age would you... All right, what if I said...
And why?
57 and 59. Why? Like, why is it that... Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
So, no, it's okay. The real answer is it depends on the bigger situation, but the biggest factor in my mind is age. I'm a fan of reducing debt. So actually, Sharon and I talked about this last time when I was on the show, but The math, the pure math would probably support putting a mortgage on the home, especially while interest rates are low, mm-hmm. and investing the proceeds, because you can likely earn more as a rate of return in a portfolio, even after paying some taxes, mm-hmm. than you would pay in interest to carry that mortgage, especially after a tax deduction. So the pure math would likely support put a mortgage on the property and invest the rest. However, you have to factor in you have to factor in people's behavior, and would they really take all of those proceeds and put it in an account and invest it for a long enough period of time, or would they draw from it and spend more money than they would normally if they had put that money down on the home? Mm-hmm. Like, it's even though the math supports put the mortgage on the home and invest the rest, most people wouldn't be diligent enough mm-hmm. to actually invest all of that money so that the math would continue to work. In other words, they might say, oh, I'm gonna buy the second home, or I'm gonna buy this boat because I have all this money here, mm-hmm. right? And I can touch it and it's tangible. So you have to factor in people's behavior. And again, most people, I don't think, are diligent enough because of human nature.
Human nature, you want that.
And the other factor is the emotional burden of carrying debt. A lot mm-hmm. of people just are not comfortable carrying debt, and they feel better when they're debt-free or their debt is reduced, especially when a mortgage is paid off. The people that I work with that have taken that step, maybe they've taken a lump sum and they've paid off the mortgage, or maybe they're just at that point where the mortgage is gone, they feel a lot better.
Oh, I'm mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah. And they're, you know, they're, mm-hmm. they walk in with big smiles and I paid right? off the mortgage, and it's just a weight off your shoulder. I don't know what it's like because I carry a mortgage, imagine. But I, mm-hmm. and I'm not in the position where I can pay it off, but it's just an emotional weight. And so for those two reasons.
Then question two. So say, for instance, you know, you have a couple that, let's just say they owe $250,000 on their property. And then Sharon, you just take a break and I've got this.
We got this, Sharon.
We got this. We're all okay. Set. You can go.
I'll see you
a
next
place
week.
At yoga.
I legitimately just said, I really wish I brought a glass of wine.
Aren't you going to go exercise?
Yeah, we are. We're going together. We're going to a bar class. You should have seen last week.
It was bad. Sorry. As we digress, as we usually do, that was pretty funny.
Hi, Ryan.
So they owe $250,000 on their property, and they come into, let's just say, $275,000. I don't know the answer to this, which is why I'm asking you the question, which is why I'm so excited I'm here, because I'm just full of questions tonight.
You're welcome, Cindy. You're welcome for being here tonight.
I'm not sure whether it's this or bar yoga that has got me all in a
Or the wine in your water bottle.
Or the vodka right in my glass. Yeah. Vodka. No, I'm straight vodka tonight. So I would want to pay off my mortgage. Mm-hmm. I hate paying my mortgage mm-hmm. every single month. Mm-hmm. And even though I've got practically given money because my interest rate's so low, I hate paying my mortgage. Mm-hmm. I would want to pay my mortgage off and be that particular debt-free.
Yeah, most people would.
Would that be okay? Because someone might say, well, invest that. I don't want... I want to pay that mortgage off. I want it gone.
Also, the other... when we talk with Bill Conley, feels the same way. And I know Dan Mann feels the same way with, you know, mortgages. I feel that they think at least you have, you know, the taxable, you know, the interest...
The tax benefit.
You know, the tax benefit and things like that. But to me, I think... I don't know. I would be afraid of a couple things. One would be, it's like my first day here that I don't realize I have to talk into this thing. But I would be afraid of a couple things. One would be, you know, 65 isn't old, you know what I mean? But if you have a mortgage 10, 15 years, what if your spouse does pass away and now you have the burden of having that yourself? Now you're going to draw off that money anyways to probably pay the mortgage. And just like you said, the emotional part of it, I think I would be anxiety ridden knowing.
Yeah.
Well, how much do in these low interest rates? I have all kinds of questions.
We have another 30 minutes, so we're good. Yeah.
Well, just had my taxes done today, but I just like keep my eyes closed and hold on to the chair very tight. I don't know anything yet. But what type of tax break do we really get today with such low interest, on having a mortgage? I want, Thank you.
I would like to address the tax deduction issue, because I just had this question earlier today, and I probably have this conversation with someone once a week, because it's a common misconception, in my mind anyway, that you should carry a mortgage for the tax deduction. Mm. I think it's a misconception. It's not true. And so let me explain. And then I'll go back to your question about, you know, 250 mortgage, and I just got 275. So if you... Let's take $100,000, because it's a round number. Let's say you have a mortgage for $100,000. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's at 4%. Interest rates are pretty low, right? So let's call it 4%. So the interest that you pay to the bank per year is $4,000, okay? Mm-hmm. So you pay the bank $4,000. It's wrapped up into your mortgage payment, okay? You get a dollar-for-dollar tax deduction for that $4,000. It's not a tax credit where you save $4,000. Yep. It's a tax deduction, which means it reduces your taxable income by $4,000 in this example, okay? Mm-hmm. If you're in the 25% tax bracket, you're saving 25% of $4,000, that deduction that you got. So you're saving $1,000. So you pay the bank $4,000, and thank you, IRS, I'm going to take back $1,000. Mm-hmm. So it still costs you $3,000 to carry that $100,000 mortgage in this example.
For that 1 year.
So you should, you should, for that 1 year, thank you. So you
welcome.
Should never.
I am.
So you should.
I'm glad
so
she's
focused.
Back in March, because we're going to run out of time with all these questions.
I am, just for me.
I know. So you shouldn't, I mean, yes, you get a tax deduction to carry a mortgage. But you shouldn't carry a mortgage just for the tax deduction, because you'll always pay more in interest than you'll save as a deduction on your taxes.
And if you're investing, you know, people, like we're talking about investing the money, are you, like, how much more are you really going to make? I mean, there's a risk there, too. You don't know if you're going to invest that money, you know, the $100,000. Like, how much are you really going to make on that in a year, too?
Right. I mean, it just certainly depends on what the markets do and how it's invested. Mm-hmm. But to come back to your earlier question, Cindy, where you had a $250,000 mortgage and you came in, or someone came into $275,000, should you pay off the mortgage? Again, it depends on the bigger picture, and are you covered in other aspects of your life? Like, do you have your emergency reserves account? Mm-hmm. And if not, I would set that aside first. Do you have any other debts? Do you have any other higher interest rate debts, like credit card debts, et cetera? Those need to be cleaned up before a mortgage would be paid off in that example. Do you have any upcoming obligations, like a kid going off to college, et cetera? You know, maybe those things could be taken care of at the beginning, and then whatever's left over maybe could go to the mortgage. But certainly I'm in favor of paying down debt when the opportunity presents itself, especially at you know, older ages, or pre-retirement ages, or certainly retirement ages. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question?
I can go now. I'm sure I have more questions, but I'll let Sharon. No, I think that helps me greatly, but I am just of that mindset, and I think Sharon said it earlier. You know, even though we have life insurance and all those things, for that one person, especially with today's mortgages and how high they are, that's huge to carry now that you've got potentially one income. And I just think about those things as I get older.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean?
Are you talking about yourself or a client?
Me.
Oh, okay.
It's all about me, Alyssa.
Oh, okay.
Did you not tell her before you came in?
She doesn't listen. She told us at the beginning she doesn't listen.
I'm busy in the evenings with my kids.
Yeah, the little cherubs
me.
That you have. Well, it's so funny, too, Sim, because, well, first of all, if you have any questions for Alyssa, 781-837-4900. We are live here. Again, we have Alyssa McNamara-Reed with us from McNamara Financial, and she is the host of McNamara Money. That's on WATD every Saturday morning. So please call in. This is a great opportunity to ask some questions, 781-837-4900. But one of the things, Alyssa, is Cindy and I have been neighbors and friends for 24 years
now. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
you guys were neighbors.
Almost 25 years.
I'm surprised you've never heard of me, but whatever.
I knew the name Cindy Ford.
Well,
I do not have the pleasure of knowing you personally yet, Cindy, but
now we have made our acquaintance.
So yes. Good luck with that.
It's all funny games. But Cindy also has, you know, her only daughter is the same age as Mackenzie. So they're both juniors in college.
Okay.
So she just left Alabama, and she's now in Connecticut at UConn. Wow. So we are at that age now, you know, it was yesterday, by the way, that we had the girls the same age.
We had socks with little ruffles on them.
Oh,
in
our bed.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Right? How old are the girls now?
4, 5, and 7.
Yeah. So it wasn't long ago that was us. You
yesterday.
Know? No. It was absolutely yesterday. But some of the advice that you, and this is totally off topic with real estate, but, you know, the advice that your dad had given us, because your dad is my brother-in-law, I remember literally going in the bathroom and crying. And he's like, he wants me to save how much for college? Like, that can't be possible. Well, now, in front of me right now, actually, is some paperwork for Casey, because Casey got accepted to BC Law School.
Great.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Awesome. But, you know, she has some decisions to make, and, you know, and maybe she should
cost-wise, sit down. Cost-wise, perhaps, yeah.
I'm going to have her call you.
Yeah,
because she got
do.
A full scholarship to Northeastern, and not such a full scholarship to BC. So what do you do? We do
time
have
to grow up and make those big decisions.
Exactly, yeah. Because mommy isn't paying for law school.
Right.
because you told me I can't. I'm going to blame it on you.
I don't recall that specific discussion.
Alyssa didn't even want me paying for your undergrad.
I do recall wanting you to focus on retirement.
Yes, we are doing that.
Retirement. We're never retiring, but go ahead.
Yeah. So we have a phone call. We have Andre from Marshfield. Good morning. Or good afternoon. Sorry, I'm so used to being here in the morning.
Good evening. Good evening. I have a college savings or high school savings question. I have a young son under 4 years old, and with the way that college tuitions are going continuously up and up and up, you know, he may not go to college at some point. But I would like to save for maybe a private high school. I was wondering if there's a 529-like plan for private high school.
Hi, Andre. This is Alyssa. The 529 college savings account, that's the most popular way to save for college right now because it's very tax efficient, is not available for private high schools. It is for postgraduate education only. So it's for higher education only. So 529 for you is out. People that invest money in 529s, that money is earmarked for college only if they want, because it's tax efficient in that regard. What you can do, Andre, is you can open up what's called a UTMA or UGMA, which stands for Uniform Transfers to Minors Act. This would be an investment account that would be in you said your son, right?
Yes.
It would be in your son's Social Security number. So it would be... he would technically be the owner of the money, and you would be the financial custodian, which basically means because he's a minor, you make all the decisions in the account, how it's invested, et cetera. It's, again, a tax-efficient way to save for a minor because any dividends and interest earned inside of that account is taxed at your son's tax bracket, which is essentially nothing at this point because he has no earned income. And so the taxes would be very minimal, if at all, on that for a long time, unless that account got very large and started generating very large taxable dividends. Okay, so it's a tax-efficient way to save for your son, and that's a very flexible account. So basically, money goes into a UTMA. It is an irrevocable gift to a child. You can't take it back and use it to take a vacation for yourself. Okay, so it's an irrevocable gift to a child. And the benefit is that the money can be used for anything for the benefit of that child. It can be used for college, but it can also be used for private high school, as you're talking about. It's very flexible. It can be used to buy a laptop, a car, mm-hmm. send them to, you know, abroad when they're in high school, et cetera. So it really is very flexible in that regard. But
so it's not tax-free, though, by any means.
It's not tax-free, but I would call it very tax-efficient because it's not taxed at an adult's tax bracket. It's taxed to the child. Okay. So until that account got very large, or until your son had his own earned income, the taxes would be very minimal. Okay.
Sure.
So that's really a 529 is out. That's really your best option for saving for your son for the future, unless you want the money in your name.
Okay. No, that was another question. I mean, the 529 plan is so popular, and, you know, it seems to be the textbook way that we know how to learn. But given the cost of education, when you walk out 15 years from now or you know, 18 years from now with a $250,000 sheet of paper and a flooded job market, does it make sense sometimes to invest in that education or possibly into a, you know, private high school where the child can excel properly, possibly, I should say.
Yeah. Well, you're talking to the right people, by the way, Andre, because I want to let you know that Cindy, who's here with me, Cindy Ford, her daughter went to Catholic school from kindergarten on through high school. And my girls went to high school, Notre Dame, and so did Kimmy. Kimmy also went to Notre Dame in Hingham.
My sister's school. I'm a BCI grad.
Well, I'm an MRM girl, but I'm probably a whole lot older than you that you don't know what Monsignor Ryan is in Dorchester. But
I remember it. Okay. I am that old.
Okay. Well, I actually sat next to Marty Walsh, so I was the same year as Marty Walsh. So, that's probably why you have that instinct in you to want to send your child to, you know, to the parochial school, you know, the Catholic school or whatever, private school. I wanted to tell you just... Yeah. A couple of things. I think that, you know, Casey, Kimmy, and Mackenzie both got very, very good educations. I think that it's more of college prep when we're talking about Notre Dame. We have all girls, so no one at BC. But when my youngest was in 10th grade, we found out she was dyslexic, and we're totally off track here, but I'm just going to... things to research. So we ended up putting her back into a public school because the... other school didn't really want to put her in honor programs anymore. So they didn't, you know. So anyway, she wanted to be in honor classes and all that, and we did that. Long story, my oldest daughter, they're a year apart in school, she applied to probably 10 schools, and she got waitlisted on many of them. And that's the one that graduated from Notre Dame with a 4.3 grade point average and got like a 2,100 or close or higher on her SATs.
Right.
So the pool of people that are going, you know what I mean? Like now you're competing with other people. You know, she got waitlisted at BC, which was her top choice, but somebody, like she can't, I can't donate a library and she can't throw a football. So get your son doing that.
Run, join the club.
So that, you know, and that was really, you know, it was one of those things. Good news is she got accepted to BC Law School, but... then my other daughter ended up at Pembroke High School. She also applied to probably 11 colleges, 12 colleges. She got accepted to every single one, and they were calling back saying, we'll give you more money. We'll give you. Because she ended up being at the top of her class at that point.
Yeah.
So there was a part of me that felt if Casey, she's always going to have that intelligence. And, you know, from the family, I feel like you get that from your family.
She got that from her mom. Yeah,
a good portion of it. I'm pretty confirmed it skips a generation. My daughters are both very, very smart. So, but here's the thing. Both girls got $25,000 a year scholarship money. You know, one's at Fairfield, going to graduate this year, and one's up at St. Mike's. So the academic route, I think, is
huge really money. Important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and now for college, I don't know if you heard me say earlier, my oldest is applying to law school and got a full scholarship offered to her to Northeastern and USD, Quinnipiac, a few others. So maybe it's the foundation of those private schools.
Yeah.
Well, I'll look into the UTMA account, and, you know, we also have a 529, but I want to know if there was a separate one.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, for tax benefits for parochial or for private high school.
At this point, there's not a tax-free option for for private high school. Good luck to you, Andre. You've got your head on straight.
You too. Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, Andre.
Bye-bye.
And Andre, too, if you're still listening, we'll be giving out Alyssa's information later. She's in Marshfield as well. So, if he has a four-year-old, do you guys bump into each other?
Maybe. Yeah. I have a four-year-old as well.
Exactly.
I know.
Yeah. So
perhaps I will.
Kids will be in the same grade unless his go to somewhere else.
Right.
So I'm already getting from Ryan. We have to take our break. We're going to take a quick break so we can get your commercials in. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking to Alyssa McNamara Reed from McNamara on Money every Saturday morning here and McNamara Financial. We're going to be talking about, you know, investing money, or should it be in stocks or in housing? We'll be right back.
Are you thinking about buying or selling a home? Are you looking to purchase investment property or considering converting a property into condominiums? Or are you a business owner or investor selling or acquiring commercial real estate? Mahoney Law Group is a full-service real estate law firm and has guided thousands of people in the South Shore area through all stages and types of real estate ownership, including buying, selling, refinancing, and condominium conversions. They specialize in residential and commercial real estate closings and title issues. Whether you're a first-time first-time home buyer or a seasoned commercial real estate investor, the knowledgeable and experienced staff at Mahoney Law Group is ready to help, and they're always available. Make sure to ask about their first-time home buyer discounts on fees and title insurance. If you have questions about buying, selling, or refinancing, give them a call, 781-849-0700. Visit their website at mlgne.com or like them on Facebook and Twitter. Again, that number is 781-849-0700. Visit their website, mlgne.com, or like them on Facebook and Twitter, Mahoney Law Group.
Whether you're buying your first home, moving across town, or thinking about refinancing, you owe it to yourself to speak with a trusted mortgage advisor who can provide highly personalized service through every step of the loan process. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation's Marshfield branch is a well-respected local and national lender and can help you achieve both the short-term goal of homeownership and the long-term goal of financial security for you and your family. Having originated more than $11 billion in 2015, Fairway has competitive rates and extensive product availability. For instance, you may even be eligible to receive a down payment assistance grant of up to 5% of your loan that you don't have to pay back. Seems too good to be true? Call the Fairway Marshfield branch at 781-536-4172 and ask for Daniel Mann to see if you qualify for this amazing program. Don't be scared about the home financing process. Let Dan show you that his way is the Fairway. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS 2289, is an equal housing lender. This is not an offer to enter into an agreement. Not all customers will qualify. Information, rates, and programs are subject to change without notice. All products are subject to credit and property approval. Daniel Mann, NMLS 150772, Mass Branch License 338980.
Hi, this is Alyssa Reed with McNamara Financial. My three-year-old asked me if she could have a mermaid with purple sparkly hair. I said, sure, when you save up $18 and you can start by helping me put away the laundry. She was initially frustrated but was excited to have a clear path to her goal and a few shiny quarters. The parallels I can draw between her and a pre-retiree working towards a retirement goal are uncanny. Give me a call so that I can help you outline your path to financial success. 781-834-2010.
We now return to Talk Real Estate, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services on 95.9 WATD.
And we're back. Hello to all our South Shore neighbors. 781-837-4900. If you have any questions for us regarding real estate, if you're thinking about buying or selling, please give us a call. Myself and Cindy Ford are here. We're both from Boston Connect Real Estate. Mm-hmm. I'm the broker owner there, and Cindy is an associate broker, which means we're just super smart. No, we have a lot of brokers. We have a lot of brokers.
What's the difference between a broker and an agent?
Oh, yeah.
More. I don't know the difference between a broker and an agent.
Yeah, just more question for us, Alyssa?
That was my question. What's the difference between a broker and an agent?
Just a little more.
Is there more credentials?
More credentials.
You have to have pass a test or something like that, or have certain credentials.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Test.
But you could open your own business as
a broker.
As a broker. Where you can't as an agent.
Got it.
That's simple enough.
Yeah.
But the test, I was not.
And you have
fun.
To be in there for so many years.
Yeah.
Like you have to be an agent for so many years and all of that. So,
test is which is on the test.
Yeah.
So if you get that wrong, you're in trouble.
I hope you know what it is, lady.
Right? 4 years. 4 years, I'm pretty sure, but who knows? I already got mine.
It went up last year. I don't remember to what, but I don't care because I'm never doing it again.
I know. Yeah, but we do have a lot of brokers in our office, which is great. They all end up being the trainers and our mentors, too. So, but if you have any questions for Alyssa, we have Alyssa here from McNamara Financial, and we're just talking about finances. We just had Andre call, but if you have another question, 781-837-4900. All right, Alyssa, what are some of the topics? I know you have a big sheet of paper.
Have a big sheet of paper. I wasn't sure if we would need it.
Thought there might be dead air, Alyssa?
No, I wasn't really worried. I wasn't actually worried about that, but your assistant or woman in your office, she asked me to put some bullet points together, so I just did my homework and put some bullet points together because I didn't want Sharon being upset with me.
No, I would
not
be upset with you.
No, I guess my mind was sort of, because it's tax time or getting to be the time where people are filing my taxes, my mind was sort of going in that direction. That's not really necessarily real estate related.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also, you know, maybe the pros and cons of using money from various investment type accounts to purchase real estate. We could touch on that as well. So,
what are your thoughts on that anyways? I mean, how do you feel about, you know, if people get an inheritance? This was sort of similar to what Cindy was talking about. You know, you get that lump sum and, you know, I did refer you a client one time, remember, and, you know, suddenly she had to sell her house and she was moving in with one of the kids. You have $200,000, which seems like a lot of money to somebody who's maybe 75 years old. And it really goes so fast.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, everybody the trip to Disney, pay off the car. Mm. So how do you handle those situations when you have clients in front of you as well?
Regarding proceeds from a house sale?
Yeah.
You know, there's just so many factors that come into it, like I was touching on earlier. So number one, where are they going next? And mm-hmm. how much will it cost them to be there? If I guess we're assuming that there's money coming off the table, so they're either moving in with family or they're downsizing and money in equity is coming out of the property. But I would make sure that they're sort of set with regards to an emergency savings account, mm-hmm. Make sure there's no high interest rate debt. If anyone has any credit card debt or other sort of high interest rate debt, I would clean that up immediately because, 10, 15, 20% interest rates on credit card debt is, those are holes that people have a hard time digging themselves out of. So those would go away immediately.
Mm-hmm. And it's almost impossible. Don't you think with the credit card debt, it just seems to snowball.
Yeah, for a lot of people, and depending on the amount, once you get yourself into a bad situation, it can be really hard to climb out of that because mm-hmm. the interest rates are so high and because you're already in the habit of spending too much money. Mm-hmm. So not only do you have to pay back what you've spent, but you have to spend a lot less to afford to pay back what you've already spent money on. So sure, unfortunately, I meet people that, things have gotten out of hand for whatever reason. Maybe it was an emergency or something and they didn't have their emergency savings account, or maybe it's just years of not being able to, meet their expenses, or maybe there was a layoff, so there's obviously unfortunate circumstances, but if there's ever, disposable money or, discretionary money, I would clean up a high interest rate debt before doing anything else, certainly before investing in real estate or paying down a mortgage.
Well, and how do you feel about people who maybe have gotten, a little bit over their head, whether it's, from an illness or something? It's very easy to sort of get off track, especially if you don't have that, that emergency fund, which, I've talked about over and over on the show when I'm with you. That was the best advice probably that I got from McNamara Financial, is to have that. So, a few years back, we needed it when Matt got sick. But what about, people who have a lot of equity in their home, mm-hmm. but then they end up with all this debt? Is it suggested that they do take out a little loan and sort of bring that down and then have one sort of consolidate it?
I generally try not to advise that people use equity in their home to clean up debts like that, but it is a last resort. For example, I have a client who was putting their daughter through school and ended up incurring some debt as a result, and actually ended up with some credit card debt as a result. But he makes very, very good money. He's going to probably work another 10 years. He already has significant assets in his 401k, and they happen to have a lot of equity in a home. So he was in a position where he was not all set, but he was on a good track for retirement anyway, mm-hmm. and they probably will downsize at some point in the future. So taking a little bit more equity to clean up a higher interest rate debt for someone who can absolutely afford to pay it off because of their mm-hmm. income and their ability to work for a number of years, I was okay with that. And that was just the best route for them to travel while they tried to get their daughter through college. But in general, I try not to have people take equity out of the home unless there's really no other options. Mm-hmm. And I really hate to see people, especially people, 50 plus, I really hate to see them stretch out that mortgage. Like if they have 15 years mm-hmm. left and they're 50 years old, I really hate to see them stretch it out to a 30. But sure, there have been times in the past where mm-hmm. I've had to advise that because there wasn't, a lot of other solutions to a problem. Mm-hmm. So I don't love the idea, but I have recommended people use equity in the home to clean up other debts or for mm-hmm. other reasons like paying for college. But you really, really have to make sure, if you're going to take equity from your home to maybe pay off some credit card debt, you really need to make sure you're not going to get yourself into a position where you're going to have another lump of credit card debt a few years later. Like if you're not cleaning up bad habits, and maybe it wasn't a bad habit, maybe it was a layoff, or maybe it was a medical situation. But if it was just bad habits, you have to clean those up first, because it could just snowball, right? Mm-hmm. And you could end up a few years later being in the same position where you need more equity from the home. And that's not a good situation to be in. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I answered your question. I forget what the original question was.
That's all right. We go on and we lose track ourselves. But and it's interesting because as you are talking, I'm imagining that, in your field, that you have a lot of tough discussions with people that are just, real.
Yeah.
Can you talk about a little bit about that, like what the process is with you? I know Michael's going to be doing a show in a few weeks where you're looking for volunteers, by the way. And you also have something coming up, your show this weekend, and then I think you have an accountant or something coming up. I don't know if that's already filled.
Yeah, so a little bit unrelated, but we do have a show this weekend where my husband, Kirk Reed, who's also an advisor at McNamara, he's hosting the show with Mike McDonough, who's a CPA from Marshfield. And they're, that's just like a tax-related show because it's tax time. And then they're doing a little workshop in our office where if anyone's interested in hearing Mike McDonough, who's a CPA, hearing him talk about, you know, maybe common mistakes that people make when they file their own taxes, et cetera. They're just doing like a little, not intimate, but a smaller event in our office just in case anyone has any questions beyond the show. But so... to talk a little bit about the process that we go through with people. So at McNamara Financial, we do basically we do two things for people. We manage money for them, but we also do what's called financial planning. And that's like a really general term. And sometimes people don't really know what that means. But basically what it means is figuring out, you know, where is someone in their life now? How old are they? How much money do they make? How much longer are they going to work? How much money do they spend? How much money do they have saved? How much are they saving? You know, how much do they think they can save between now and retirement? So, you know, what will their Social Security be? Will they have a pension? Will they have a lump sum? So, you know, getting all this data together and then figuring out, does their financial future look successful based on their hopes and dreams, based on, you know, maybe wanting to move to Florida or maybe wanting to retire early at 60 or you know, so...
Do many people do that still, retire at 60?
Not very many.
It seems so young.
No, not very many.
Doesn't it?
Not very many. Not very many that I work with. Early 60s, early mid-60s. But so what planning means is just sort of grabbing all these numbers from people, because I'm a numbers person and I love this process. But even if you're not a numbers person, to see, and I do it in a very visual way where I put the numbers in, but we have reports that people can look at and visualize, and you can just see on, not on paper, but up on the screen, is this going to work for me? Am I going to be able to pull this off? Am I saving enough? Can I afford to pay my child's college tuition and still retire? Can I afford this second home? Should I take this money and put it down on my mortgage, or should I invest it? We can run all different types of scenarios. So it just means like modeling someone's financial future. And sometimes it looks great. I know we have to get that little doorbell or whatever that was. Sometimes it look, and you hope that it looks successful for everyone based on what their hopes are or what their dreams are. But sometimes it doesn't. And you have to have really honest conversations with people about, this doesn't look good. You can't sustain your lifestyle with the amount of money you have. You have to save more, work longer, spend less, or some combination. So yeah, I have hard conversations, unfortunately, a lot. But I also have really great conversations with people that have done well and have saved and have made good decisions. And those are the meetings that everyone walks out smiling. And those are just really rewarding. And
and that's one of the things when we were walking up the stairs earlier, you're on again with me and Sin on March 22nd, I believe is the date. And it's, you know, those, the D, the dirty D words that we don't like to talk about. It's divorce and, you know, death and disability. And I think that for our next show, I would love to sort of target in on that a little bit too, and how you prepare people for that. And what do people, you know, what are the decisions that people have to make when it comes to their home and selling their home? And do I buy her out? Do I buy him out? No, we do financially secure women. We have something coming up in April as well. You know, when we have these people who, you know, women, let's say, left the workforce and now they find themselves divorced and not really, you know, I couldn't see myself in the job market right now, you know? So those decisions are going to be hard for people.
And my only hope is that people can, you know, reach out to someone like me or a professional like me that can help. You know, the earlier you do this, the better. You know, if you're not sure what it, and most people aren't sure what it's going to look like, because most people don't have the sophistication, not in their mind, I just mean like, you know, software or whatever to do these projections in an accurate and realistic way. But to reach out to someone and do that sooner rather than later is just so much more powerful, because if you wait until you're 64 and you want to retire at 65 and it doesn't look good,
what are your options?
Well,
right?
You don't know where you can go if you don't know where you are. And that's why I think going earlier. And again, we only have 2 minutes left. And I promise the next time you're on,
I know.
Well, the next time we won't have so much banter and silliness because everybody knows who you are now. But, you know, I think that that's really important to know where you are. And, you know, when you talk about, you know, death and divorce and all that, you know, I think about, you know, the help that you've actually given my dad, you know. So, you know, he had a lump sum and we had to project like, well, how old was your grandfather when he passed away? And he was like 99 or something.
Right.
But we had last year, I remember we were looking at some numbers and if the amount of money that he had, that little pocket of money that he had, it would have been gone if we had just put it in a savings account and just paid like his rent and his food and his car and the gas. It would have been gone.
Yeah.
And that was 11 years ago.
Most people need their assets to work for them. Most people aren't independently wealthy enough where they can stick it in cash and inflation can eat away at it and they'll still have enough money.
Yeah.
Most people need their assets to work for them. So
And none is going to be 80 years old, June 3rd. So,
wow.
Yeah. So that's great.
Good for him.
And I would take care of him if he ran out of money.
Of course you would.
I know.
Of course.
Well, Alyssa, how can people get in touch with you if they need to talk to you about doing this plan? And I think it's a great idea.
Sure. McNamaraFinancial.com or we're right in Marshfield, 781-834-2010.
Give the number one more time.
781-834-2010. Or you can catch me like every other Saturday morning on McNamara on Money on WATD from 8 to 10. I have a couple of weeks off, but I will return, I forget when.
And if you're not here, your husband Kirk will be here, and your father, Michael, will be here, so people can always get all the information they need.
Yep.
Cindy, we're both going to be doing lots of open houses this coming weekend, so how can people find us?
781-367-4419, Chef.
And you can go to bostonconnect.com. Our profiles are up there. You can find all of our past shows as well. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Pinterest, Instagram.
You guys are so social.
Rye, we'll see you next weekend,
Thanks,
my
everyone.
Friend.
Have a good night.
Thanks for having me, ladies.